I don't know how long, but a while. And I think this is message 26, maybe. I don't know. And we've been here on this subject for a while and thought I'd get done, but I'm not going to. I'll do my best to get done Sunday. Lord, be our helper under this. We're going to change the we've been going different places in the title, Victory Over. We got to have victory over the flesh. We got to have victory over the battle of the unknown. These are things that we can't do in ourselves. We preach victory over the blessings, victory over the curse, and we're on victory over choices. And I'd be the first to say tonight that been a lot of times that my choices haven't been great. You know, if we don't have the victory, if we don't walk in victory, how do we ever expect to have victory over what we choose? We must have victory ourselves before we can walk in the right choices. Is that not right? And we're going to go back tonight, start in the book of Deuteronomy. We read this last Sunday. We dealt with the first part of this. Then we went over into the book of Chronicles and dealt with David numbering Israel. God's anger was kindled against David and how that 70,000 children of Israel died because of this. The Lord sent judgment upon them. And a bad choice. Sometimes choices cost us far more than we expect, don't it? Sometimes. The best choice, folks, that we ever made, I don't care who you are, when we traded a life of heartache, grief, misery, for a life of peace and joy and fullness in the Holy Ghost. Brother Fred, I never made a choice any better than that. The number one choice that I made, and I couldn't make that choice without God's help. I had to first realize I was lost. I had to first realize I was wandering in a sinful world, in a dark world, and the light shined in my path, and that spirit of conviction began to pull and tug, and by His help and Him directing me and through the Word and the counsel, I plan on making it, folks. And if I don't follow in His Word and His guidance, I won't make it. I won't make it. We dealt with the same thing that brought the blessing. If you reverse it, it brought the curse. He said, you'll be blessed if you keep my commandments, you walk in my statutes, and you love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But then He said, cursed shalt thou be in the city. Cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be the increase of thy kind, and fruit of thy womb and thy storehouse. If we want to be blessed, we must walk according to God's word. Not saying that God don't bless sinners, folks. I want to tell you, every day we get up is a blessing. The devil doesn't give life. It's God that gives life. But if we want to walk in the divine blessing of God and claim all these promises that are, they're here, but there's conditions on the promises of God. Does anybody realize that tonight? There's conditions on the promises of God. Second Chronicles, while you're finding Deuteronomy chapter 30. Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14 said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, then will I hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins, and heal their land. Sounds like there's a condition to that, doesn't it? If we're willing to seek Him, ask for forgiveness, pray, then God said, I will forgive and I'll heal. So I believe, folks, that a lot of times we don't receive the full blessings of God simply because we don't want the full Word of God. We don't want the full Word of God. Hallelujah. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, if you want to stand with us tonight. Now, folks, this is just a little while before Moses getting ready to leave them. Moses getting ready to leave him, leave the children of Israel. God's done showed him, and he's rehearsing the things God's placed in his life. And He's told them, Joshua, God's put Joshua here to lead you on in. I've seen it, but I'm not going over. I'm not going to cross the Jordan. And in this, notice what he said. Last week we read the first few verses of chapter 30, but we're going to start in verse number 15. Read down through the remainder of the chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse number 15. Listen to what it says. See, I've set before thee this day. Now, I want you to notice that as we read it. It's this day. I've set before thee this day life and good, death and evil, in that I've commanded thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Verse number 17, he discourages them to turn, not to turn. Don't turn from the Lord. If thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou possessest over Jordan to go in to possess it. Verse number 19, I'll call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. Listen to what he said, for he is thy life in the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy father, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. You can be seated. I want you to notice something in this 15th verse down through verse number 20. As the Lord began to deal in Moses' heart to speak to the children of Israel, he knows that his times, like Apostle Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. And Moses begins to say to them that he said this, to see that I've set before thee this day. Moses, knowing that this could very well be the day I leave, but if it's not tomorrow, I'm going to say this day the Lord has set before us life and good and death and evil. Do you know that life always is because the good part's been chosen? Did you notice in the book of Luke, I believe it is, that Jesus comes into a certain village, the Bible says, and Mary meets Jesus and falls down at his feet. Brother Nathan begins to worship Jesus, and in that bid Jesus into their house, and as he come in there, she began to worship at the feet of Jesus, and she had a sister named Martha, and the Bible says Martha's troubled about fixing him a dinner, fixing him some food, but preparing something for the physical. And she come out and said, Lord, carest thou not that my sister's left me to serve alone? And listen what Jesus said. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but Mary has chosen this good part that shall not be taken away. I can tell you, folks, there's always life in good things of God. Every day that we live, did you notice in the 20th verse here that it says that the Lord is your life? It's your life. As I begin to look at this day, he said, and he kept emphasizing three different places in chapter 30. He emphasized that the commandment this day, he's saying, now, right now is when it's given. to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, and judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply in the land the Lord thy God shall bless thee, in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Now, folks, there's been a lot of people that have loved the Lord thy God this day. This day. And another day has come, as I begin to declare to you a Sunday, how that Balaam, that he sought the Lord when Balak sent servants to him, and he sought the Lord, and the Lord said, don't go, this people's blessed, you can't curse them. This day he's doing what God said. But you see, there come another day, and they sent notable man, more honorable, more and more honorable than the first, and then he began to fall away, and he saw those prestige, and he saw those things that he could be promoted into. Listen, folks, it's this day, and if I live another day, I can say that Jesus said when we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Every day that we live, folks, we need to get up and say, this day, Lord, I make a choice to serve you and to not listen to the things that the influentials would try to pull me away. Did you notice what Moses, he's forewarning the children of Israel, knowing he's not going to be around long, and he's forewarning them that if you go and your heart is turned toward other gods to serve and worship them. Do you know that when our hearts every day, folks, don't fall out of relationship with the Lord overnight, there's never been a marriage. You know, now I may be more simple-minded than most folks, but I've heard people tell me their spouse had just up and go, and they say, I didn't have a clue anything's wrong. Now, I believe I'm a little smarter than that. Someone that one time loved me and embraced me, and I don't know, have you ever had anybody to hug you up and say, brother, I love you, and you could feel the coldness in you, knew it was words, it was a tinkle, it was a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. They didn't more love you than anything. And I can tell you, folks, it's the same way. Relationship doesn't just start just at a moment like that and drift apart. A man and woman that one time loved one another. No, sir. No, ma'am. And when you see that coming, you must work on it. If you don't, there'll be a day your heart will be pulled away. Moses is saying to them, beware lest there be a time come that you'll be lured by other gods. And when you begin to follow them and not hear, did you notice what he said in verse 17 and 8? He said, you'll not hear the word of the Lord, and you'll be worship other gods. I could never worship another god as long as I'm hearing what's in this book. In the book of Revelations, to every one of the churches of Asia, he said the two things in common. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And I can tell you, folks, as every one of us tonight, with the spiritual ear, when we hear that word, it must be through the spiritual before it's beneficial to us. Brother Smith, and what Moses is saying here, if it doesn't register in that heart as God's words being spoke, it's not just the blessings, but it's the cursings in there. You need to beware that these cursings don't overtake you, because when your heart follows after other gods, look out. The curses it's pronounced in this book is headed your direction. I'm preaching to you, I have victory over choices. These choices this day. There's been days I've been plumb proud of myself. I've made good choices. And I'd look, and if nobody else bragged on me, I'd brag on myself. I'd done pretty good, didn't I? But boy, these days. Now, why is it when you do something worthy to be bragged on? And I spit this talk drop out before I get choked. Now I'm going to preach to you. Brother Harold Saylor told me, he said, put one of them cough drops in your mouth, and my throat's all broke up and scratched, He said, well, I preach with him all the time. He don't preach like I do if he does, because I got to spit it out. I'm going to get choked on it. And so it's a hindrance to me. I was trying to work it around and dissolve it as quick as I could, but it ain't working. So now we got the hindrance out of the way. We'll preach a while, okay? But I looked here and I thought, as Moses began to declare to him, it's this day. And did you notice, though, it went on down in verse number 20, and he said it again, this day. Folks, if we live tomorrow, if we live next week, if there is a year of 2013, Brother Scott, every day we get up, I believe we've got to say, Lord, it's this day. I need you to guide me. I might have had the good yesterday. I might have feared God. And folks, by the way, we can never serve Him and keep His commandments without that godly fear and reverence in our life. Brother Smith, and what Moses is saying, folks, I'm getting ready to cross over, and you're going across Jordan. You'll be fighting the battle. You need something to get the victory over the battle of the unknown. And in that battle, you must have God to come through victorious. And I'm here to tell you tonight, church, we've got to have God if we're going to fight this battle over choices and have victory over it. There's been a lot of choices I've made. I didn't have victory. I didn't have victory. And the Webster Dictionary defines choice as having more than two to choose from. Boy, isn't that something? If it's just one, wouldn't be bad, would it? Well, it's a hard choice. I ain't got but one. If there wasn't but one God to serve, it wouldn't be a hard choice, would it? But do you know everything you put before the true God? There's only one God, but we make many gods. Yeah, I can guarantee you, there ain't one of us here but what hadn't had many gods in our lives. Anything we put before the God is a God unto us. And it's a false God that Moses said to the children of Israel. He said, there'll come a time if you don't fear Him this day, and if there's a tomorrow, say, this day I'll fear you and I'll keep your commandments. And if you don't do that every day, this day that you get up, folks, there'll come a time that you'll follow after you quit hearing with the spiritual ear the Word of God, and you'll follow after false gods. It could be a God of materialism. It could be a God of sports. It could be a God of lust. It could be a God of money or fame. Whatever it may be, Brother Scott. But when we begin to follow after it, I'm here to tell you, friend, in that we're leaving the life that Jesus gave us and the good that He gave us, and we're pursuing death. Every one of us, it's in our hands. It's in your hands to have good and life. The Lord made it that way. The Lord made it that way. You a lot of times, if you there's consequences. I remember my dad one time years ago. He left me and my twin brother and my two brothers just older than me. We raised tomatoes, and all the farming my dad ever done with an old mule or horse. And he left us to pick tomatoes while he took a load to the cannery at Alvey. Wherever that be, whichever direction. I don't know when I'm turned around here, but go back down the road and back over to Harmon. And he took a load to Alvey. Be straight across through here somewhere. He took a load to Alvey, and he said, now, boys, when I get back, you have another load of tomatoes picked, or else. Well, guess what? Dad got out of sight, and there was two Jennies in the field right there by us. We just big old kids, boys, and there's two big old Jennies there, and one of them had never been rode. One of the boys said, if I catch that Jenny, will you ride it? And I said, yeah, I'll ride that Jenny. And we chased it for an hour and finally got it caught. And when I got on it, it threw me and run off with the rope on it. We knew then we was in trouble. Dad would know we'd been messing with the Jenny. So we had to run it another hour to catch it. And by the time we got the Jenny caught the first time and the second time, we just had a few boxes of tomatoes picked. Here come Dad down the road. And when he got up there, he's expecting to load and head back to Alvey. And he said, boys, what have you been doing? And there was a consequence. You know what it was? The check line. The check line. And that's exactly, I tell you, I knew there's evil in the presence there. I felt it all around. There was nothing good about that. You see, when we hear the voice of God, and we hear it's there's life and good, that's what He said. I've set before you this day, and tomorrow, if there's a tomorrow, the Lord will say, this day I've set it before you. It's in your hands to do with what you will. I've set life and good, or a blessing and or cursing, and I've set evil and death before you. Now you'll have to be the one to choose which direction you're going to go today. We might have had the victory yesterday over the choices, but friend, if we don't hear His word and keep it rehearsed in our heart and life and be excited about the things of God, I'm here to tell you, I'll make the wrong choices every time, and the penalty won't be the check line. The penalty will be death. If I don't choose life, the only other alternative left is death and evil. And a lot of times the evil things that's come upon me has been because I didn't make right choices. Now, I'm not saying every time. The man that was born blind, you can't say, the disciples said, who sinned, this man or his parents? That sounds pretty foolish to me. He's born blind, the Bible says. How in the world could he have sinned, made himself blind? He's born blind. Who sinned, this man or his parents? Jesus said, neither, but that the works of God might be manifest. Somebody's going to have to be healed that they can see the healing power and virtue of Jesus and Him be glorified. And I can tell you, folks, a lot of times the evil that come upon Job wasn't because of what he'd done bad. It's because of what he'd done good. But I'm here to tell you, many times I've suffered things because of bad choices. Bad choices. It's set before us today, and if there's a tomorrow, it'll be set before us tomorrow. Listen, let me take you over into the New Testament, the book of Mark, chapter 10. And I can see a familiar story here. Let me give you the verse. Don't remember what verse it was, Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse number 17. The Bible says, as Jesus was going by the way, there come running to Him a young rich ruler and knelt before Him and said, good Master, what must I do that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus said, why callest thou me good? There's none good save God. Thou knowest the commandments. He began to declare to Him the commandments, and this man said, well, Lord, all these have I observed and kept from my youth. And the Bible says, Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And he said, one thing thou likest, go and sell everything thou hast, all that thou hast, and give to the poor, and come take up your cross and follow me, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And the Bible says, folks, this is a sad occasion. Brother Fred, it was this day he's met with the choice. I don't know what choices he had the day before, but this day he's met with one of the most important choices that an individual will ever be faced with. And the Bible says he began to think about this, everything he had. Now listen, folks, I believe he's a good man. The Bible said, he said, I've observed all these commandments. I've kept these commandments. But Jesus said, you lack something in your life. What is it? You're not completely sold out. You got something you love above me. Do you know anything we put above God is a God? This money, the possessions he had, wasn't nothing wrong with having those possessions, except the Bible doesn't say that money is the root of all evil, but he says the love of money is the root of all evil. You can have a pocket full, a bank full, and a buried can over the hill full. You can have all kinds of possessions. Solomon was the richest man around in his time. Job was one of the richest people of the earth. But he still had integrity and loved God. He didn't let those riches get between him and God. And folks, this young man is met with the choice that day. We're met with choices every day of our life. And Jesus said to him, you like something, you're a good person. And his brother Donnie Chisholm would say, you're too good to go to hell. I've heard him say many times as he's calling somebody's name, and he'd say, you're too good to go to hell. But I can tell you, folks, if we don't choose life and the blessings of the Lord, that's exactly the destiny we're headed. It's in our hands, the decision's ours, and you and I must have victory through Jesus to have victory over the choices that we're faced with. Jesus must be the greater treasure than anything else in this life. The kingdom of heavens, as a man was plowing in a field, and he plowed something up he'd never seen before. The Bible calls it the pearl of great price. Never been anything like this. You know what it was? It's the church. This pearl is God's church. It's salvation freely given to man. It's not what we deserve. If we got what we deserved, Brother Smith, we'd ever want to be doomed to a devil's hell. But thank God we didn't get what we deserve. We got salvation because He gave us victory over choices that the devil, and I can tell you, folks, the devil will always be sure to make you know that there'll be bad choices that'll look good. Sometimes we'll see things that don't look bad. Everything that glitters is not gold, by the way. Everything that looks good doesn't taste good. He didn't say look and see that he's good. What did he say? Taste and see that he's good. I'm looking at you thinking, whoo, man. Taste of... I remember the first time. What do you call those things, Diane? I can't remember anything. I call it dummy foods, what I call it. What do you call them things they set on the table for decorations? It looks like grapes and oranges and apples and decorations. She don't know no more than I do, and she went to college. What is it? She knows just what I know. It's fake food. I remember one time, and some of them looked so good. I mean, this one didn't have no dust on it like the ones we've had around for a while, you know, spider webs. You wouldn't want them, but it was shining. It looked good. And I picked one up, it wasn't plastic. It was wax. I don't know if they used to make them better than they do nowadays or not, but it was wax. And I grabbed that thing, bit into it, and guess what? It tasted horrible. It felt horrible, and it was wax. It was counterfeit, if you will. And I can tell you, folks, that's what the Lord wants us to do in our spiritual appetite. I can tell you, I didn't just grab that thing and gulp it down before I tasted of it. No, sir. I tasted. And one taste is all it took for me to know it's not what I want. But I believe every choice that comes our way, if it's the things pertaining to God, if we'll just begin to taste of the spiritual food, the table that He has spread. Brother Ron, I know this. One nibble won't be enough. We'll want a feast at the Master's table. It'll not be something that'll be dislikeful to our taste. But when our heart's in tune with God, God's given us salvation. If you remember way back when I first started preaching under this title, I have the victory over. The number one word in the Greek for victory was salvation. And number one, He's given me victory through salvation. And now, because of the victory through salvation, He's given me victory over the choices every day of my life that I make. And if the enemy tries to allure me and pull me another direction, I can tell you, folks, I can taste of that pearl, that great price it was paid. Taste and see that He's good. Not that the world's good, but taste and see that the Lord is good and gracious to us. And as I begin to taste of Him, as this young man is listening, everything sounded good until it got to the part You got to give something up. And the reason why, you put it so high that you won't put me above it. Is that not sad? Everything else, he's willing to give up for the Lord. He's done all the things that would make a good neighbor, that would make a good citizen. You could trust him if you left your wallet sitting on his coffee table and went home and left it there. You could come back the next day, Brother Smith, and he hadn't bothered your wallet. I mean, that $114.22 is still there. He didn't take a dime of it. He's so trustworthy. You could leave your door unlocked. He's not going to come in, and he's not going to rob you of things that's in your home. But I can tell you the thing, folks, that was a sad choice in his life. The possessions meant more to him than God Almighty. His possessions meant more. And the Lord began to say to him, you're doing good, no doubt, but you lack something. There's one thing. Do you know, friend? It only takes one thing to separate you from God eternally. Only one thing between you and God. If you're not willing to give it up, it'll separate you, and you've chose death and the cursing. And evil. Every one of us, you know what the blessings and right choices do? Makes us do this. You know what bad choices and evil makes us do? I tell you, folks, I've made some choices. Wasn't choices that would cause me to fall or fail, but boy, it's been choices that made my countenance fall. Just simply because I didn't hear from God. You know, I heard myself say, boy, I like that. I need one of them. If I just had that, I'd just do a lot better. It helped me a lot. Boy, did I ever find out different. Bad choice. Bad choice. But as this man made this choice, let me hurry up, get through this story. Got another place to go. We're coming to a close real quick. This man made this choice. How I know that death is in this, the Word said it was. How I know that evil is in this, the Word said it was. And as I begin to look at this story, you listen. The Bible says, when the Lord said you lack something, you're doing good, but you lack something. If you'll be perfect, if you want to be what you need to be and what I expect you to be, he said, go and sell all that you have, give to the poor, and come take up your cross, follow me, you'll have treasures in heaven. Listen, he went away that day because he made a bad choice. His countenance fell. I can tell you, there wasn't no spring in his heel. He's walking slow, his head's down to the ground, and he's got a frown on his face. Why? The Bible says he went away sad. You see an individual sad. There ain't no spring in their heel. There's no glitter in their eyes, Brother Scott. There's no joy in their expression or voice. He went away that day because he had made a bad choice. He had chose death that day rather than life. He chose death and evil and the curse that's in this book. I'm preaching to you. I have victory over choices. And the only way I do, folks, is the victory of God be in my life this day and tomorrow. If there's another day for me, every day I must have victory over the choices to make it. Every one of us know people that they've made good choices for years, and then on up in their older years, I don't know why it is. There's a man down in our neck of the woods. I know he's got to be in his 70s, probably mid-70s. Dyed his hair jet black, got a big old mustache. Ain't nothing wrong with mustaches, but he dyed it jet black. Unbuttoned his shirt down to about right here. And then three or four hairs on his chest sticking out, you know. And he struts around like a 30-year-old young man. And left his wife. And I know he's looking for a young woman. Why? If he had her, he couldn't keep her. And why? Why he saying that? Because God wouldn't be in that. God wouldn't be in that. And I can see folks are And you'd think, oh, until he put an earring in his ear, and I thought, dear God in heavens, he's sick or what? And I thought, old enough to know better. And possibly, Moses said, now folks, I'm getting ready to leave you. This day I'm going to talk to you. Might not have another one. There's not a one of us here, Brother Larry, that's assured of tomorrow. This could be the day that we meet God. And this could, if we don't, if this could be the day He comes for everybody. If He don't, He very well could come for me. Choices. The choices I made. Listen, I hear people all the time talk about, I made bad choices in my younger years, in my mid years of life. But thank God He got a hold of me, turned me around. Now, the choices that I've got left, Brother Scott, I want them to be the right choices. I want to choose life and a blessing from the Lord. That in the life to come, folks, this is the most important thing. The decision that we make here very well will determine where we're going. We're not going to just all wake up one day and be in a better place. If we're there, it'll be because we made plans to go there. It'll be because we made choices that were right. I got victory over the choices. Well, I do right now. But what about tomorrow? Boy, I'm just going to tell you. I'm going to preach Sunday on how victory over my tongue. Oh, I can say it now and not lie. But if I said it sometimes, I'd be a liar. But boy, I'm going to pray up between now and Sunday because I can't preach this without having victory over my tongue. I might ride in a different vehicle than Diane rides in to get here Sunday. Somebody said I was doing good till they said something. All right, I ain't going to get on that. We'll keep that till Sunday. All right. That'll be verse number 28. That'd probably be good enough. That'd be a good one to end up on, won't it? I've got victory over choices. Let's go into the book of Philippians chapter 3 for just a moment. I believe it's verse number 13. Apostle Paul made a statement in Philippians chapter 3, something similar to this. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind me and pressing forth to those that are before me. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus my Lord. What's Apostle Paul saying? It's a choice, folks. If we don't have the victory over the past, this is the choice God give us. We can let that past destroy us, or we can get victory over that past. If God's come in, Apostle Paul, I can tell you, folks, there was a lot of times that Apostle Paul preached before Stephen's family. The Bible says that he helped the cloak in consenting at the death of Stephen as they stoned him, calling upon the name of the Lord. And you think what you want to, but I know for certain that Apostle Paul preached in the presence of some of his family. Possibly Stephen's mother sat there on the second pew or the first pew as Apostle Paul's preaching. Don't you know that man battled every day that he preached in the town that Stephen was from? He battled that knowing the enemy said they ain't going to have nothing to do or hear you because you helped see Stephen be stoned and others that were put in jail and prison. But I can tell you, folks, Apostle Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended. I've not made heaven yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind me. We made choices in the past that will kill our testimony in the present. If we allow that enemy to bring it up every time we try to do something, if that enemy brings up the past, it'll kill the present. Apostle Paul said, I've made a choice to forget that past. By the help of God, I've got victory over it. I've got victory over the past. The choices that I made in the past. Now, I've got my goal set and I see something great. I see a prize that's set out there. It's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus my Lord. And I believe, folks, that if every one of us, every day of our life, listen, the choices that we're faced with, why is it that when we're here and the presence of the Lord is moving, we're not easily influenced to do wrong? If somebody if you don't have the victory as soon as you leave this church house, then you are in bad shape. Diane and I come by the hospital, come around through by Tractor Supply and right there and turned up by whatever that ice cream place used to be there, anyway, up that street. And here's an old man. I don't know. I wouldn't doubt what he's 70, wasn't he? And here's how he's walking. He's humped over about like that, and he's taking steps about like that, and guess what he had under this right arm? A case of Bush. I don't know how far he had to go, but I wasn't doubting what he didn't walk a mile to get that. You know, the old commercial said I'd walk a mile for a camel. He may have walked a mile for a case of Bush. Bad choice, bad choice. And if I could get this to him, I'd give it to him. Bad choice. We can expect that, and I hope he ain't one of them that'll be sitting on church pew Sunday and got no more fear of God than that. But we can expect that out of the world. They know nothing else but choices that the flesh persuades them in. But when we leave the church and all we want to do is head toward the flesh pots, all we want to do is try to appease the flesh the best we can, friend. I'm telling you, we hadn't made the right choices in that service when God spoke our heart, when His Spirit pricked our soul and told us there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. There is a judgment coming one day. I can tell you, many walks away sad, and when they leave, as this young rich ruler did, friend, that was the worst choice that man ever made. We leave these services. I trust we'll be challenged. Somehow, some way, God speaks to our hearts. My brother Charles said, I'm closing with this. Somebody, Sister Pamela, if you want to get ready, get us a song. My brother Charles said for years, he lived a rough life. He gave his testimony here in a lot of different churches. For years, he was in a car wreck. Cut his left arm off. Doctor said there's no medical way that man could have lived. But God spared him to do better, spared him for a reason. He'd been involved with dope and drugs and alcohol, all kinds of rotten lifestyle, made a lot of bad choices. He could tell you that if he's here tonight. But one day, he accepted the Lord down on the creek bank, Big Creek. God had spoke to me to go talk to Charles. Your family's some of the hardest people there is to talk to. And Charles was there with several of his buddies. I mean, they had beer sitting everywhere, drinking. When he seen me coming, I know God's dealing on the other end. And this was probably about November, I would say, it was around deer season time. God dealt with me to go talk to him. Now I'm telling you, he's opening them beers. I mean, you could hear him pop, pop, and he's just drinking them like a fish. And I said, Charles, I need to talk to you. He got in the vehicle with me, and I talked to him. I told him, I said, Charles, I really don't know how to say this to you, but I said, God's put on my heart to come and talk to you that He's given you one more chance. But if you don't yield to the call of the Lord, boy, this is one of the hardest things, folks, that I've ever had to say. Now, if I didn't know that God said it to me, I wouldn't have said it. But I said, Charles, I feel in my spirit that God told me if you don't surrender your life to the Lord this year, you'll not live to see. Was it in 2000 or 99? 96? 96. I said, I feel like, Charles, that God showed me you'll not see the year of 2007. And that was hard to say. Because old devil's saying, well, that wasn't God said that. And if he lives past that, he's going to know you're glad. You're a false prophet. And I said, well, I love my brother enough. I've got to say what I feel like God would have me to. And I left there, and Charles wouldn't hardly say a word. He wouldn't hardly look at me, wouldn't say a word. He did quit drinking his beer, though. Wouldn't say a word. We went up on the hill, looked at his horses, come back, all them guys down there. Boy, they're just a hoorah and laughing, having themselves a time. Guess what? Some of those same guys that are there right now is serving the Lord, too. But this was in November, December 31st. Charles was on the creek bank. Went to grab suckers. And guess who he went with? He went with a preacher. Got down on the creek. Philip went up the creek. Charles went down the creek. Philip come back a little while. Charles just cried. Charles looked over at Philip and said, Philip, I feel like something's wrong. And said, I feel like God just told me if I don't pray right now, I'm going to die. I ain't going to live to get out of here. And he fell on his knees right there on that creek bank, December 31st of 96. Gave his life to the Lord and been living for the Lord ever since, and helped win no telling how many people to the Lord. Goes to the prisons all the time. He's in all these years, however many years that'd be, what'd that be, 18 years? 16 years. He's missed 2 Mondays of going to the Searcy County Jail. And 16 years. Snow, rain, sleet, whatever, he goes. And he prays, goes in there. Because he's spent a lot of time in the same place those folks are. He's been in the same place as they are. And he's able to reach folks that I couldn't reach. And I can tell you, what are you saying? My brother, and that's the reason I gave this testimony a little bit of it. My brother said to me after that, he said, the devil had me convinced God didn't love me. The devil had me convinced I'd done so much, God didn't want me. God didn't love me. And he said, I wouldn't call on the name of the Lord because I felt God had rejected me. Thank God. As Apostle Paul said, I've got victory over what's behind me. I've got victory. This is a choice. Folks, God will give us victory of salvation. He'll give us victory over the choices we face every day. And one of them is forgetting those things that are behind me and pressing toward. There's a choice for life. And the life's not behind. It's death behind you. In the old past, the old man. But the life's ahead for you. Tonight, the life's ahead for you. As they say.